2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, and when you get there, say amen.
Amen.
You'll find these words beginning with the 5th verse. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, have shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. I want to talk about knocked down, but not knocked out. Knocked down, but not knocked out. You know, sometimes as believers, we forget that God is so big, he meets himself where he just left. Sometimes we think we're in this all by ourselves. But God's eye is on the sparrow. And surely his eye is on the people of God. Knocked down, but not knocked out. In this world we live, the Bible record said that man born of a woman had but a few days, and he is full of trouble. You're either in trouble, or have been in trouble, or you're heading for trouble. And because you name the name Jesus, you don't have any diplomatic immunity from trouble. In fact, it was Jesus who promised us that since you're my child in this world, you shall have, that's not speculative, you shall have tribulation. But he always puts an addendum for his children. But he said, but, connective conjunction, be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world, and you're overcomers through me. So I just want to encourage all of us today, because trouble is coming our way. And I thank God for trouble. If it were not for trouble, we wouldn't praise him properly. Amen. You don't preach from the seminary. That's where you get your ecclesiastical training. But trouble, tears, and pain will cause you to preach with the authority of God's word. If you have never been in trouble, then you don't know how to call his name. And you're going to have to deal with trouble one day. So I just stopped by to encourage you that you may be knocked down. But if you're God's child, now I'm talking about God's children, you are not knocked out. Let's look at the record. Now, the apostle, the preacher, had a lot of trouble because of this man called Jesus. But wherever he went, he told them, I perceive to know nothing among you but Christ and them crucified. Let's look at the 7th verse. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And what is this earthen vessel stuff? That's us. That's clay pot. That's trash. That's frail humankind. But God's treasure is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the liberating gospel, the gospel which saves, the infinite precious thing that'll take a pimp out the street and put him in the pulpit, take a prostitute out of a house of iniquity and put her on the deaconess board. We're talking about the gospel. which changes lives. I have never been anywhere, met anybody who can drop all the charges. But in the gospel, all the charges are dropped. Paul said that I'm privileged to be trash, but entrusted with the glorious knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm glad to say that this morning, because he came way across town to save my sin-sick soul. Hallelujah. And in this life, there are going to be some crushing moments. Every one of us will be afflicted by some kind of pain or extenuating circumstance. If you live long enough, you'll endure quite a bit of affliction. And we just need to be reminded that nothing happens in this world without God's approval. Whenever you find yourself in the hissing heat of the valley, God signs you up for it, because he wants to deliver you from the snare of the fowler. The preacher says that I'm privileged. I got weaknesses. I got disabilities. I got a thorn in the flesh. But God allowed me to preach his word. And I'm spiritually weak. But God has the audacity to use me to deliver heaven's message. Don't you know we better be careful with this gospel? Every believer, every born again believer has been called to be a minister of reconciliation. Every believer has to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And every believer ought to know it is a privilege to pronounce, to proclaim, to project the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's more than just good news. It is divine good news. It is about the full atoning work of Jesus on Calvary's cross. It's about death, burial, and resurrection. And he's not concerned whether it was Sunday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, but on the third day morning, he got up. And you got to get him up with this gospel. Now, when you do that, when you preach this gospel, whether it's to your next door neighbor, whether it's down on the corner, or in a den of thieves, you're going to have some trouble. You're going to have some trouble. If the light of the gospel is shining in your heart, you're going to have some trouble. After verse 7, he says, now, because we do what we do with this heavenly message, we are troubled on every side. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. The world didn't roll over and play dead when Jesus said he was the Christ. And the world ain't going to roll over and play dead when you name him as your Lord and Savior. You're going to have some trouble. Because you see, Jesus said, think not that I come to bring peace, but I come to bring a sword. I come to set son against father, daughter against mother, daughter-in-law against mother-in-law, son-in-law against father. What you mean, Jesus? He said, when somebody gets saved in the household, the whole household goes out of whack until everybody gets saved. You're going to have some trouble. And the real born-again believer does not have to wear a halo on his head or act like he's some spiritual peacock who have not sinned. The closer you get to Christ, the more you see how ugly you are. But trouble is coming to our house. The writer broke it down like this. In verse 8, we are troubled on every side. That means we are afflicted. We hard pressed. We heads in. They trying to hem us in. The world is against us. But I like what God says. But we're not destroyed. We're not crushed. We're not cramped. That means the situation that we find ourselves in may seem overwhelmingly frustrating, but God has a way of delivering us out of everything. He said, if I redeemed you and called you by my name, I will take you through the water. It will not drown you. I will take you through the fire. It will not consume you. Because if you're my child, you're going to definitely be able to say, it came to pass. I don't mind having trouble, but I'm glad that trouble don't last always. And there's no impasse on the road of God's service for obedient children of God. But you're going to have some trouble. And the Bible is full of this. Was Moses at the Red Sea in trouble? Yes, he was. He had the sea in front of him that wasn't given away. He had mountains on either side of him. And he had Pharaoh's army behind him with the ability to annihilate over 2 million people. He was in trouble. But guess what? God said, not destroyed, not crushed. God said, get that rod in your hand, Moses. Just stretch it out. And it was God who met him in trouble and opened up Highway 66 and let him walk across on a calm time. He didn't say you wouldn't have no trouble, but he did say he wouldn't leave you alone in the trouble. Not destroyed. You see, the Lord allows Satan to batter us to get us to talking to him. You know, you pray harder, pray better, pray right when trouble comes. You see, when things are going good and you're in the rarefied air of worship, you play with God. But when trouble comes to your house, you say, Lord, have mercy on me. He said, then we are perplexed, my Lord, but not in despair. Now, perplexities are either practical or spiritual. Now, practical, that means that our human wisdom can't catch up with the situation that's going on around us. And then spiritual means that our minds, our spiritual minds are not big enough to comprehend the problems that faith brings us. You see, we don't despair because we don't know what's going on. We have despair because we can't understand what's going on. But we must remember that we see through a glass darkly. We ain't seen this whole picture yet. God hasn't unraveled everything in front of us yet. So we just see a little bit. But after a while, he'll show us that trouble, that rough situation, I got your tears in a bottle. I got you, I carried you, I picked you up, but I didn't want you to understand right then. We only know in part, but one day we'll know as we've been known. See, he goes on to tell us that we are persecuted. Hallelujah. You dare to live godly, you'll be persecuted. And I'm not talking about your little perfection. You see, sinners are still persecuted who are saved. If you are saved, you got some taint with sin. You see, I couldn't be preaching this morning if I wasn't wrestling with sin. God ain't never called an angel to preach to men. He called sinners to preach to men. Because I sit where you sit, and I've been where you've been, and I've had the same troubles you've had. And I've wrestled with the same sins you wrestled. But it will cause persecution. That means to be attacked for my faith and my obedience to his command. And it's a lonely form of suffering. It generally involves rejection from society and from church folks. You know, that's the group in the house that ain't saved. There is a difference between church folks and saints of God. Amen. Church folks are window dressing. But they ain't leaving when Jesus come back. They'll still be in the house. But the saints will be gone on to glory. Yeah, if you love him, you're going to be persecuted. in the house, round the corner, next door, uptown, downtown, round town, cross town, you're gonna have persecution. But be of good cheer when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Be exceedingly glad. Don't worry about the revelation and reviling of people. You just shout the joy. What a privilege I've been picked out to be picked on. Paul said, then we are not forsaken. I like that. That means don't never forget the presence of God. Don't never count him out. You see, he ain't never sleep. He always woke. And he always signifies into your affairs. And you don't have to call him for him to know you need him. Because he watches everything. He got your back. And when God say he got your back, he got your back. Paul was on board a ship. And he was on his way to Rome to preach the Caesar. Things got rough on the ship. The ship was getting ready to break up. God sent an angel to him. Say, Paul, ain't nothing going to happen to you. I know the ship is going down, but I ain't going to forsake you. I promise you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Tell everybody on board, the saved and the unsaved, the fat and the ugly, black folks and white folks, just grab a piece of the boat, because I'm going to bring everybody home, because you are on board. Are you with me? And then he goes on to say, cast down. Cast down. That means struck down. That's more than physical attack. You know that he was cast down with a disloyal Corinthian church. It was a blow to his heart. They didn't lack any gifts, but they had more trouble in that church. They didn't know who was in charge. They thought Paul was the man. Some thought Peter was the man. Some thought it was Jesus. Some picked Apollos. I'm glad he cleared it up. You see, amen, he said Jesus Christ was crucified for you. That who the man is. Amen. Cast down. We've been attacked. Sorrows endure for Christians seem like sometime a knockout blow. Pastor say I'm trying my best to get the church to grow. And they won't act right. They won't do right. They don't love my God. It becomes a casting down spirit. But we need to be reminded. But we'll never be destroyed. You see, man's extremity is God's opportunity. I'm glad that this man shared with us the problems that the gospel will bring with it. You see, he was on his way to Rome, and God had already said that he's going to suffer many things for my sake. Say, he raised hell against my church until I put him in church and gave him a message for the church and caused him to live that message to the church. I know he's going to be shipwrecked. He's going to be shamefully entreated in Philippi. The other brethren are going to turn their back on him. He's going to have beatings in jail. He's going to have a whole lot of lonely nights. They're going to run him out of prisons on sheets. He's going to be running all his life. He's going to spend time in stocks and bonds. But while he's in that trouble, he's going to see me much more clearly. And while he was in jail, he was sure enough in trouble. He wrote that these bonds are for the furtherance of the gospel. I know I'm locked up, but I'm free in Jesus. I'm glad I'm in jail. I can write these words. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. I have a hard time when saints get to crying and crying all over trouble that happens in their lives. I don't understand why I need Lord. Why did death come to my house? Why did I lose my job? Why has my husband got another woman? Why is my wife not at home? You're going to have some trouble, because trouble is how God molds you, how God melts you, how God shapes you, how God breaks you. You need some trouble. When ain't no trouble going on in my church, I'll start some trouble. You need some trouble to get closer to God. Let me say this and I'm finished. I want to give you four things that I learned to help you when trouble comes, because it's coming. And if you remember these four affirmations, you're going to always be all right. The first thing, that when trouble is at you, no matter what's going on, always say to yourself, I'm still his child. Hallelujah. My name is on high. My record is in glory. I'm a child of the King. I'm a royal priesthood. I'm a holy nation. I'm a peculiar people. When you remember that you're a child of the King, then the situation don't seem so bad. Because the King is able to deliver his child. Secondly, when trouble is in your way, say, I'm still holding on. When I got married, my wife held my hand. That was crazy. But when I got saved, I got a hold of God's unchanging hand. I'm still holding on, holding on, holding on. God's unchanging hand. Because he holds the world in the hollow of his hand. Thirdly, I'm still hoping. You know, Jesse Jackson, I don't agree with many things he say, but this one thing he was right about. Keep hope alive. I'm still hoping. You see, hope is the anchor of the soul. A lot of folks would have died if they didn't have hope. And some have gone in the hospital and the doctor said, I don't know why she died, but she gave up hope. So regardless of what's going on in your life, I'm still hoping. Keep hope alive. And finally, my brothers and sisters, when trouble come your way, when you sure enough get in trouble, remind Joseph that I'm still here. And if you're still here, that means the trouble didn't take you out of here. I'm still here. No matter how rough it gets, I'm still here. Yes, in this life, every one of us will be knocked down more than one time. But just remember, can't nobody knock you out, because God, he's so big. God got you, and he got your back. Yes, you're going to get knocked down, but you can't be knocked out. Sugar Ray Leonard got knocked out last night. But if God had been in the ring with him, he'd have bounced back up and fought some more. Do you know the devil tried to knock Jesus out? Yes, he did. He thought he had him. He called death, hell, and the grave together. They met him at Calvary's cross. They did knock him down. They put him down. But the problem was, they couldn't keep him down. They had him Friday. They had him all day Saturday. But early, Sunday morning, he got up.